Good morning and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus to all that have gathered here this morning to worship. It's a good thing to gather and give thanks, come into the presence of the Lord with praise, with thanksgiving and prayers. I was blessed with the service thus far, and you know, sometimes in preparing a message, seeking the Lord, what he would have us to look at. And sometimes you're not always sure, but this morning I had several confirmations that this was that what I was considering was certainly moving of the Spirit and the other brothers as well, thinking about what we've considered this morning. So I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians. In the New Testament, Philippians is one of the letters, we call them epistles, that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in the first century. Philippians was written to the church at Philippi. It was the first church that was established in Asia, established by Paul and his second missionary journey. Remember how Paul and those that were with him had plans to do some things in the area they were traveling in, but then there was the vision that Paul had, and it was the man of Macedonia, come over and help us, and that was the Spirit directing them to go into that part of the country. The book, the context of the letter is this, that Paul, being imprisoned at Rome, probably about 10 years after the church in Philippi was established, Paul being imprisoned there received a gift from the church at Philippi. And it was sent by Epaphroditus. We find his name in chapter 2 here in Philippians. And it was sent to Paul by Epaphroditus and was a blessing to Paul. And he writes this letter as a thank you, a thank you letter for that gift, and also to, touch base with that church, give them some encouragement, some teaching, and also to tell them that I'm hoping, Paul says, I'm hoping to come and visit you again. And it seems that Paul and his imprisonment there in Rome, that time changed his plans. God directed his plans through that. And in Romans we read about that he had plans to come to the Romans and then go on into Spain. Which, as far as we know, he never did that. It seems like after he was in prison the first time that he returned, and as far as we know, he did get back to Philippi and visit the churches there before he was imprisoned the second time, and then he was martyred for his faith. So that's somewhat the backdrop. Now, the central theme of the book is joy, and we'll find as we go. As we look at the consideration this morning, the secret of Paul's joy. Though I'm going to begin this morning, I would like to read this letter. So follow along with me as I read Philippians, beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. And in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two. I have having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the title that I've chosen this morning is Don't Worry, Be Thankful. And I thought also, someone mentioned this morning about this song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, and I thought of that, but that's not what the scripture teaches us. Don't worry, be thankful. We read it here in chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means Don't be anxious about it. That word careful is the rendering of the translation of a Greek word that means to be anxious about something. Don't be anxious about anything, he says. And as we think of this, Jesus taught the same thing. Paul wasn't coming to this of his own, but Jesus also taught, and he, in the Sermon on the Mount, he gave these words. He said, take no thought for your life. That's the same idea. Don't be anxious about what you shall eat or drink or what you're going to wear. And don't don't take thought for the things of the world, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And look at the birds. Don't you see how God takes care of the birds? They don't lay up for winter. They don't plant. They don't reap the crops and gather into barns. God takes care of them. Surely he will take care of you. Are you not much better than they? And Jesus says it doesn't help anyway. Which of you can add a cubit to your height? Or we might say today, which of you can change your hair color or change the family that you were born into? What these things are nothing that we can do about anything about anyway. And so Jesus says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. That's in verse 34. I'm so thankful that we have an example here in Apostle Paul. The way he lived his life, he was living this out. He was living what he preached. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. As you think about, he was writing to the church at Philippi. What happened to Paul at Philippi when he established the church there, when he first went there? Well, that was where he was put in jail. Paul and Barnabas were placed in jail, and they had been beaten, and they were put in the inner prison, in the stocks, and at midnight they prayed and sang, and God worked a miracle. There was an earthquake, and the prisoners were all loose that were in that prison, and Paul and Barnabas were free. And they were taken in by the jailer and continued to preach the gospel. The jailer was saved. That was what happened there. Now, Paul was in chains in Rome. Not what he had planned. Not what he had hoped to do. He was hoping to go further on his missionary journey. Yes, in chapter 1, Paul, we read this, how he said that, verse 13, he says that because of his bonds, he says, I want to explain this to you. I want to tell you what happened. Because I'm in chains here at Rome, it's falling out, he says. It has fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. We know what Paul wrote in the book of Romans, which would have probably been written earlier than this. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God. And Paul says, this is my testimony here, that's what's happening. And he said, there's even in Rome, there's people that are preaching Christ that aren't even doing it for the right reasons. They're trying to be a burden to me. They're doing it for envy and strife, he says. But he said, I'm rejoicing. I'm not worrying about that. I'm rejoicing that Christ is preached. And he says, I'm going to keep rejoicing about that. He says, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. And he even brings the thought in that here I am in jail. I might not be released. I may be a martyr for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says that here in chapter 1, verse 20. He said, whether it be by life or by death, Christ will be magnified. And here's the secret of Paul. to be able to live joyfully. He says, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Christ is at the center. Christ is my joy. He's the one that supplies all my need. He's the one that's working things together for good. He's the one that I'm confident in. Look in chapter 1 again. Chapter 1, verse 6. He's speaking about the Philippians. He says, in verse 5, talks about their fellowship from the first day. In other words, he was there when the Philippians church began, when the first believers put their faith in Christ. He says that from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was not worrying about the believers there, but he was confident in that God was going to be faithful to work in their life. And then in chapter 2, verse 13, he mentions it again. He speaks about that, that they should work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Then he says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God's the one that's working in you. He was confident that God would be faithful. So we have his confidence in God, and also his trust in the Lord Jesus. And that is he mentions that in chapter 2 here as well in verse 19. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus, send Timotheus shortly unto you." This is the things that he was hoping to do in the future. Going forward, he said, "I'm trusting the Lord Jesus that I will be able to do this." And he was trusting in the Lord to provide. Whether he was, as he said here in chapter 1, whether I live in the flesh or whether I depart and go to be with Christ, I am confident, he says, verse 25, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy." However it was going to be, he was confident and trusting the Lord that he was going to provide for him. You know, this gives us instruction today. Apostle Paul's example. And we think about not being anxious about what is in the future, what may come. I think someone mentioned this morning about the persecution, possible persecution that may come for us. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what God will ask us to go through. So we have the example of Apostle Paul to look to, and I would like to also look at a few scriptures in the Old Testament that teach us some specific things. Psalm 37 and verse 5 is the first one. Psalm 37. "Commit thy way unto the Lord." This is the opposite of being anxious, of being careful. Commit your way unto the Lord. Psalm 55, verse 22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." These are very specific things. These are choices that we have to make, to be purposeful about this. Whatever it is that comes to us bringing anxiety, that is a burden to us, things that are out of our control, things that we know are possibilities in the future, It's something that could happen. And even things that are present right in our laps, the responsibilities that we have or the difficulties that we're in, the burdens. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. Proverbs 16, 3. Proverbs 16, 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Here, I think we have teaching that speaks specifically to the things that we are trying to accomplish. Maybe it's for those of us that are parents and we're seeking to teach our children God's ways and teach them his truth and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and lead them in ways of faithfulness and patience. He says, commit that to God. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Maybe it's those of you that may be responsible in your work. Maybe you're responsible to lead in your job, in your company. Commit that to the Lord. Commit your works unto the Lord. Maybe it's school teachers. I can't name every place where you might be. Maybe you're working on your marriage. Maybe you're working on relationships with your neighbors. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And the last one here in the Old Testament is Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. See, when we commit our way to the Lord, when we cast our burden on the Lord, when we commit our works to the Lord, we'll be blessed, because that is trusting in the Lord. And he says, we're going to be like a tree that isn't careful in the year of drought. In other words, when the year of drought comes, and that tree that's planted by the water source, by the river, he says, spreads out her roots by the river, there's nothing to be anxious about in the year of drought, because there's plenty of moisture there. Back now to Philippians. You know, when we don't commit our way to the Lord, when we don't cast our burdens on the Lord, when we don't commit our works to the Lord, we're doing what Paul said. He spoke about this, having confidence in the flesh, having confidence in himself. He said, I'm getting back here to Philippians, it's in chapter 3. He says here, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he says, you rejoice in Christ. You worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. And we read all that about who he was, what his upbringing was, what his background was. He says, I have counted that as loss. I've counted it loss for Christ. In fact, he said, I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In fact, he said, I have suffered the loss of all things. Now, I certainly can't say that this morning. that I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things. But he said, I don't put any stock in any of that. I am counting on Christ. I've sacrificed it all for Christ. And further, he said, I know that I haven't even, even though I'm at that place where I've counted it all loss, I need to keep on pressing forward. He said, not as though I had already attained. That's in verse 12 here in chapter 3. Either were already perfect. But he said, I'm going to keep pressing forward toward the mark. Though when we don't commit our way to the Lord, we're leaning on ourselves. And we heard that this morning, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. So what is the operation by which we commit our way to God, which we cast our burdens on the Lord and commit our works to the Lord? Well, what's here in verse 6 of Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, is what that means. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry. Pray. Be thankful. Make supplication. So it's by that act of prayer, which is worship. We think of prayer often as when we do an oratory, when we talk to the Lord, we make a petition to God. Prayer has to do with that oratory, but it also has to do with worship. We do that in worship, but by prayer, by worship and supplication, there we come especially to petitioning. Making our requests known to God. We petition for a need. Even in fact, the Greek word, when you study that in Strong's anyway, it brings out that it's a supplication has to do with a want as well. It's a wanting for something. It's a need that we have. We're making entreaty for that. So he says, don't be anxious, but come to the Lord in prayer and make supplication. Make a request. Make a petition for that. Now, there's one qualifying attitude that we need to have with this, and that is with thanksgiving. And we could look at many examples in the Bible, or not examples, but many passages that teach us that thanksgiving should always accompany prayer. There's many passages. I'll just look at two. The first one is in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. There it is. Giving of thanks, right along with those others, which we think of in prayer. And so I believe it is in order. In fact, we should practice this, that in our prayer meetings, we should have prayer requests that are for thanksgiving. We should have those on our list, probably more than we do. And in our prayers, of our personal prayers, in our family prayers, we should be thanking God for His provisions. And not only for His provisions, but also thanking Him for who He is, for His faithfulness, for working out things according to His will. Colossians 4:2 is the other scripture. Colossians 4:2. He says here, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So we have prayer and thanksgiving together in those in those verses. So there it is. It's really not profound, or it's simple. It's easy to understand, I think, that not being anxious, but coming to God. You know that? When we come to God, we exercise our faith. When we come to God in prayer and make petition, that is exercising our faith. We know that Hebrews tells us that those that come to God must believe that He is. And when we do that, when we exercise our faith, we are showing that we believe that God exists, that He's there, that He can help us, that He can provide for us. Well, one final thought here, and that is, the verse 7 here in Philippians 4, we have the word "and." All that we said before, don't worry, be thankful. Come before the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And see how that couples, these thoughts are coupled together here. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. That's the peace that comes from the knowledge of knowing our standing in Christ, our standing with God in Christ. Our standing is different than our state. Our state is imperfect. We're like Apostle Paul. We need to keep pressing on. We've not attained yet. We've not apprehended yet. But we need to keep pressing on. That's our state. But our standing with God is that we are perfect. God, when He sees us, because of the intercession of Christ, remember He's our high priest there, ever living to make intercession for us, He sees us as perfect because of Jesus' atoning blood and because of His intercession, because of His faithfulness. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then He tells us what to think about. You know, those anxious thoughts don't go away just because we asked the Lord, because we committed it to the Lord. Especially if I'm in a pattern of thinking and worrying, those anxious thoughts come back again and again. And that pattern can only be broken by again and again committing our way to God and thinking on things that are true and honest and just and pure, lovely, a good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. And Paul said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So we can read through Philippians again and see how Paul lived his life. And the hope that he had and the joy that he had. We sang this, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." And did you notice that the author brought in a type from the Old Testament? He brought in the rock, capital R-O-C-K, which that's not a type. Jesus is the rock. And 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that. Jesus was the rock that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness. And the rock that, where the water came out, the one that Moses smote with the rod. Actually, he did it the second time too, when God told him to speak to the rock. But the rock is where the joy, he says, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And Jesus is the source. So may this, this is one of the commandments, we could say, that the Apostle Paul left for us. these words here in verse 6 are in the imperative. If you diagram these sentences, you children that are in school know that in an imperative sentence, the subject is you, right? It's understood to be you, and you put that on the diagram, and you write you in the subject place, and you put it in parentheses, right? Because we just understand that that's the subject, right? That's what it is here. You, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, may the God of peace, the peace that passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's kneel together for prayer.